You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
I'm now joined by historian Dr. Claire McIndoe. Is that right? How you say your last name correctly?
Yeah.
Yep. No, cool. Mean. I'm glad. I've got a penchant for nailing last name pronunciation. It's something I've tried to aspire to because, you know, in school, you're doing an assembly and then the principal messes up someone's last name. And it's so humiliating.
Oh, I think the worst I had was McIntosh. There's no T in there. I don't know where they got that.
Or an SH, or, yeah.
Yeah, wild.
No, cracker. We're here to talk about the Māori Battalion Veterans Lives Talk, which you're giving at Umbrellas today.
Yes, 5:30 at Umbrellas.
5:30 Umbrellas. And I guess we'll be talking about your research around the 28th Māori Battalion from World War II, because you've been doing some research quite recently with Angela Walhalla,
is that Wanhalla?
Wanhalla. I messed up a surname. Look at me go.
You got 50-50, so that's a pass.
That's a pass. But I saw in kind of the header for this event that the 28th Māori Battalion suffered disproportionate casualties and critical injuries in World War II. And I want to know, why was this? If you can sum up, yeah.
Oh, so in summary, I guess it's kind of where they were sent. So they were very much frontline fighting in some of the toughest areas of World War II.
Yeah.
So we see them present in sort of North Africa and, you know, particularly Egypt, Tunisia, and into Italy as well. So they were sort of really frontline. And that's where that reputation that the 28th Battalion gets sort of stems from, is them as fearsome warriors, that they're really just amazing fighters and soldiers, but unfortunately it did also place them directly in line for serious wounds and casualties.
Mm-hmm. And did they receive appropriate medical care, or was the medical care they received a bit disproportionate as well?
I mean, really, that's the big question. So certainly when it comes to frontline care, it was, from what we can see at this point, it's sort of quite standard.
Mm.
Some of them may have even received better medical care than some of their other allied soldiers just by where they were located. So, for instance, in Italy, early penicillin trials were occurring in a New Zealand general hospital, which means that, you know, they may have been some of the first to receive this new medicine, which is fantastic. What we're looking at, though, is what happens when they get home. So was it equitable? Do we sort of see them receiving ongoing medical care? What does that look like?
Mm.
That ongoing access and how that influences them as well, whether that is through their politicisation as they get older, whether that's through community groups, or whether it's that even it influences where they move and where they can go by needing to access ongoing healthcare.
Yeah. How many of the members of the 28th Māori Battalion who came home, how many of them needed continual medical care for the rest of their life, from what you can say so far?
So we're in very early preliminary stages, so I don't have any specific numbers, but it's certainly a sizable portion of them would need some sort of ongoing, whether it's rehabilitation or medical care, certainly in the first 12 months. The other thing we have to grapple with is that mental health impact. So that PTSD, that war trauma, which is something that is not really spoken about either. But certainly we do see it having an impact on these men who are fighting with people that they've grown up with, that they know, that are part of their broader iwi.
Mm.
And that's really difficult.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see how that legacy, as we're talking about before, the politicization plays out, because there was a really interesting... I think it might have been a charter school that was focused on using one of the lives of one of the members of the 28th Māori Battalion as a focal point for how they should raise young Māori children, which was really, very fascinating. It was in the North Island. I can't exactly remember where, but have you heard about this?
There are a couple of charter schools. I've not heard about this specific one, a few that are sort of looking at that generation of men and sort of saying, well, this should be how we... how we raise young Māori men as well, and sort of to these standards and values, and looking back at that generation. And, you know, there's some argument to be made that there's a reason why they're looking back at that generation, because the next generation faces so much harm and trauma coming out of the war.
Yes.
As well.
Yes. I heard about the school from the Details podcast going into charter schools, because it's a very relevant topic.
Yeah.
Detail, of course, excellent RNZ podcast. But you and Professor Angela Wanhala's study into the historical study on the nature and impact of war wounds and disease on Māori veterans of World War II, which is titled Kia Hauora Anō, was awarded nearly $700,000 in Marsden funding from the Royal Society. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Can you speak to how big of a milestone that is?
It's huge, and particularly as an early career researcher, it's mind-blowing. It still doesn't feel real. It's really, really huge to have that. And there were only 4 humanities projects that received full funding. So to get that money and to have a group of individuals who, look at this objectively and go, yes, there is a value in this research. Yes, this is important for us to look into, to understand, see what comes of this is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Angela, of course, is an absolute powerhouse. She is wonderful. She's done so much amazing research, including most recently she's got 2 books published around the Māori home front, so what it meant for Māori at home during World War II, which are incredible, beautiful books, and I 10 out of 10 recommend. Just a small plug. But she also does a lot of work to support and to really grow early career researchers.
As yourself.
Such as me. And I consider myself very fortunate. But so to get that chance to work with her and to get that collaborative work, but also that mentoring is a huge career milestone as well.
Mm-hmm. What is of the current literature, if there is any concerning the lives of the Māori veterans from the 28th Battalion, what does the current literature say about the impact of war wounds and disease on those veterans, if there is any?
So there's a little bit. What we tend to see is sort of general sort of discussions around men who served during World War II,
mm-hmm.
less so specifically about Māori, and when we do have some discussion, it's quite limited, and it tends to talk about the immediate. So we know that we have men coming back who are wounded, and we know that we have men who are facing disease, and tuberculosis is a massive issue for this generation, and onwards as well. And we sort of see work that talks about that immediate phase, but what we're interested in is not just what happens in the 40s, but what happens in the 50s,
yeah.
and the 60s, and the 70s.
Yeah.
As these men age, because as bodies age, they have different needs as well, including a really simple example is if someone has a leg amputation, as you age, your body changes and you need new prostheses because they require different fittings because your body is changing and shifting.
Yeah.
So it's that ongoing need to engage with the medical care system and to receive newer products. Just to make your life livable and to keep you mobile.
Mm. And I don't know what the government's veteran care was like, but was healthcare made accessible to these people?
That's something that we're looking into as well. And certainly there has been work from veterans who sadly now they've all passed.
Mm.
But there have been veterans who have been big advocates saying, no, there wasn't adequate access to healthcare or to pensions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one
or
of the...
Or to pensions?
Accessing those pensions.
Oh, my goodness.
And part of that's just through the processes as well of sort of them not being accessible to Māori or those living outside of major centres.
Mm.
So this is something that we're looking into,
mm-hmm.
is, okay, well, what did it look like? What was access like? Where are their issues? Was this sort of, can we find evidence of it being equitable or inequitable? Or even, what was on offer,
mm-hmm.
as well? And how might that even vary between region?
Mm, yeah, for sure. There's so many regions, especially up north, like real north, Northland area, that are, the infrastructure in general is pretty sparse. So that will be very interesting to see where that goes.
And it shifts across that sort of between the 40s and the 2000s.
Mm.
That shifts as well as mm-hmm. to what is available, what is accessible, as our healthcare system shifts and changes under various governments and initiatives.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of just chasing around. Seems like a lot of chasing. Yeah. As you mentioned before, unfortunately, the entire battalion has passed away. So I'd like to pay respects to the longest-lived 28th Battalion veteran, Sir Robert Bom Gillies, who passed away around 3 weeks ago, aged 99. Did you or Angela, Professor Angela, get the opportunity to ever speak to him?
Sadly, we did not. Unfortunately, sort of, this project has come about right at we've been working on getting together funding, and our funding has only come through now, so we don't have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. A lot of what we're doing is work that will enable other scholars as well to sort of undertake and to do further research. So we're trying to get those broad strokes together so that whether it's us, whether it's other sort of scholars, researchers, early career academics can come through and keep working on it for years to come, because this is a huge, complicated project.
Yes, and you know, you're going over so many things from the healthcare system and following so many personal records from people moving places and so on and so forth. I want to know what kind of documentation you'll be combing over, and will you be speaking with the whānau of 28th Battalion veterans?
We always love the opportunity to talk to people, and this is what I say to my students when I'm sort of nerding out about history. As I say, history is, it might be about causes and consequences and events, but at the heart of it, it affects people. Mm. This is what it is about. It's about people. And, you know, it's the humanities, humans.
Yeah.
If we get the opportunity, amazing. But also there's so much groundwork to be done. And we have to work within the parameters of what we're able to, and to be able to do it and give it justice. So, we have just huge volumes of records that we are going to go through. There are so many men in this cohort that need to be given care and attention and thought about. So, for example, the New Zealand Defence Force, we've had conversations with and looking at personnel records, because that gives us information about where they are injured and when they're injured and what that early medical care looks like. Mm. You know, access to pension records, death certificates, yeah, coroner's reports, yeah, looking at sort of, you know, what services are they interacting with. So is it the RSA? Is it the Blinded Returned Servicemen's League? You know, what are they interacting with? What records can we find them in? Convalescent homes. You know, it's... And this is sort of part of doing history, is being a detective. And you have to just kind of search for needles in haystacks and pour through information and piece it all together. Mm-hmm. And we're putting together lives that span decades. So it really is looking at just vast quantities of information and trying to piece things through. Mm-hmm. Māori face additional complexities in terms of information not necessarily being recorded for various reasons. Such as in early death certificates, they don't necessarily list occupation.
Oh.
And it really depends on who is filling out the death certificate and what area of New Zealand. Mm. But also the anglicisation of names and misspellings.
Yeah, that's...
Really, really difficult. And so you might find someone that whose story you really want to try and follow through, but actually tracing that name, because it's been written in so many variations, can be really, really tricky. Mm-hmm. So you have to get a little bit creative and sort of try and piece things together.
A little bit of historical license there.
Yeah. Well, sort of, in terms of, you'll have some information and you can sort of see the parallels and the connections. So even if the name isn't exactly the same, the information matches.
Yeah.
So you know that those two pieces of the puzzle fit together.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, if people want to hear your talk at Umbrellas tonight, they just... Turn up at 5:30?
Yeah, turn up a little bit before 5:30.
Or turn up a little bit before, yeah.
Get a drink at the bar, support local, go to Umbrellas, grab some sort of cold or warm beverage, the choice is yours. Mm-hmm. Have a sit, I'll talk for a little bit, come and ask me some great questions. I love answering questions. Mm-hmm. Be nice, but ask me questions. And yeah, this is really based on this preliminary research as well. And it's always great to hear what other people are interested in, because that can be helpful for us to take into consideration as well.
Mm. I'm really excited to see what this will turn up. It sounds like a really, really awesome and quite necessary piece of research. So ka pai on taking this undertaking.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you very much. And you've requested the Māori Battalion anthem, and so I have found on the interweb the Māori Battalion trilogy from Prince Tuitika. That is the correct, we're identifying the right thing?
Yes, yeah.
Mean, awesome. Alrighty, here is Prince Tuitika with the Māori Battalion trilogy. You're listening to The One. Any final words, Claire?
No, just that thank you for having me. I'm super stoked to get to be part of this research, and yeah, we'll see what it turns up, but it's a fascinating area.
We'll have to chase you up in maybe a year or so's time and see where you're at.
Yeah, every year we'll check in and see what's come of it.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming
on.
Thank you. Here's Prince Tuitika. You're listening to The One.
He whakaahua.
I mā koa tērā.
Kokoro tērā e wata.
Hea a ēna e pā.
Anei ngā mera ukoro, kei te aere mai te wako te irunga, taunga nei akoi.
Nē.
Ai.
Māui, e wata, e oki ki te moe. Te atahu hoki o papa I roto ana kaka.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.